two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. KSL News Time is 7:30. It is 28 degrees.
Still have huge problems out in West Valley on 5600 West. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
KSL's top story this hour. As Salt Lake City continues to look for solutions to the homeless crisis, one suggestion is to create a designated camping area for people who are now pitching tents on parking strips. KSL News Radio's Dan Bomas says one city has tried that.
Reporters from the Deseret News went to Austin to look at a couple of ways that city has tried to address homelessness. The tent city, called Esperanza Village, attracts people who might otherwise camp under bridges or elsewhere. A foundation provides some limited services for residents. Salt Lake City Mayor Aaron Mendenhall, though, doesn't think it's the right thing to do here. She'd like to see a planned community of tiny, affordable homes, like Austin's Community First Village, as a more permanent solution. Dan Bomas, KSL News Radio.
800 inmates at the Utah State Prison in Draper have been infected with coronavirus, and the disease has taken the lives of seven inmates. KSL-TV's Dan Rascone reports that prompted a rally over the weekend.
Demonstrators gathered in front of the Utah State Prison in Draper, demanding better conditions for sick and healthy prisoners alike. Demonstrators are asking the Department of Corrections to provide masks for inmates and grant early releases for those who don't pose a risk to public safety. The DOC has previously said that they have on-site medical care inmates and are working closely with the health department.
Those demonstrators also placed colored flags on the lawn, green ones for those who've tested positive, yellow ones for families worried about their loved ones, and black ones for those inmates who have died. The number of people traveling through the Salt Lake International Airport are lower than normal, but they're still pretty high considering the recommendations from health officials and the CDC. TJ and his fiance took a trip.
We're looking at planning our wedding right now, and I think we wanted to see our family over the holidays, so we didn't really want all of the things going on this year to stop us from doing that.
Officials at the Salt Lake International Airport say only about half of their normal number of day-before-Thanksgiving passengers are booked to fly on Wednesday. The Black Rifle Cafe Coffee Company here in Salt Lake is responding to some weekend controversy connecting them to a shooting suspect in Wisconsin. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards is live with more. Mary?
Amanda, a tweet from Blaze Media had a photo of the Kenosha teenage shooting suspect wearing a Black Rifle Coffee Company t-shirt. The post also included a discount code for the coffee, so people started to question whether the coffee company had a sponsorship deal for the suspect. The Black Rifle Coffee spokesperson told the Tribune they don't traffic in national tragedy, and they fully support all law enforcement officials and believe in the integrity of the legal system. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
Your voice, your vote. The 2020 count. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
President Trump's campaign has filed lawsuits in six states as he tries to upend the election results. The tragedy may have played well in front of TV cameras, but it's proved a disaster in court. Judges have uniformly rejected claims of voter fraud. The latest case ended Saturday when a federal judge in Pennsylvania said Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani presented only speculative accusations and no proof of rampant corruption in the vote. There is a vote in Michigan set for today to certify the election results there, but it's unclear if the board will do that. ABC's Elizabeth Schulze has more.
Michigan is preparing a vote on whether to certify election results or delay the process to allow an audit. With at least one Republican member of the state's canvassing board expected to delay the certification, if the other Republican forces a tie, the issue could end up in the court. Michigan's House Speaker telling Fox News,
if there were to be a 2-2 split on the State Board of Canvassers, it would then go to the Michigan Supreme Court to determine what their response would be, what their order would be.
Also today, some counties in Pennsylvania are set to certify their election results.
Meanwhile, President-elect Joe Biden is moving forward with creating his cabinet. He is expected to nominate his longtime foreign policy aide, Antony Blinken, for Secretary of State. He's been a close advisor to Biden for decades, but as Biden makes his cabinet picks, his chief of staff is frustrated over the lack of briefings and the lack of coordination with the Trump administration on the pandemic. KSL weather with Brett Benson. Looks like our temperatures are going to be dropping, but there's not a storm behind that change. Highs for most of the week look like they'll be right around 40.
Overnight lows will be chilly. We're talking overnight lows of upper 20s, low 30s here through the seven-day forecast. So a cool but pretty dry Thanksgiving week in front of us. We could definitely use some more snow. We're not going to get it this week, though.
Brett says the highs on Wednesday are going to climb up several degrees to around 47 under mostly cloudy or mostly sunny skies. And it looks like temperatures climb again next Sunday.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.